One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. You're listening to the Rasp, the Colonel, Ryan Shores.
Ooh, dusting off the Colonel, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That went a while.
With me is Dave and Bobby, I suppose. How's you guys' weeks been?
My week was great. I defended my thesis this week, so I was
excited. I always want to picture, just because I know you.
Yeah.
When I hear defend my thesis, I have you like a sword and a shield, and you're like fighting your way down a corridor.
I see more
First
like,
of all, it's a batleth. You know this.
I see more like him in a lecture hall at, you know, a prestigious college with things being thrown at him and him yelling, cowards!
Dude, it's not that different. I gotta say, it's not that different. For those of you guys who've never defended a master's thesis before, let me just say.
Probably everyone.
Let me just say, like, they go real hard in the paint. Like, you think, oh, these nerdy academics. When I was prepping for it, my thesis advisor was like, so here's the process. You come in, you present your thesis. Now, we've already read it. You present your major points. You have like 20 some odd minutes. And then the committee members switch hit you, like go back and forth and try and ask increasingly more difficult questions. And I was like, all right, cool. And I was expecting like really technical questions and things like, well,
oh yeah, I could see you gearing up for that. Like, yeah, I got this. I got you, motherfuckers.
And they started fairly easy, like some questions that like you could tell they hadn't been that thorough in their reading, and they asked a question. I was able to boom, knock it out of the park, boom, and I'm feeling really good. And every time what they
by
do
the
is,
end, they're like, "Did you or did you not order the code red?"
If you're doing this in person, they'll like ask you to step out of the room sometimes. In this case, I was doing it by like WebEx, and so they would be like, "All right, log off for a second. We got to talk." And then you'd come back for round two, and they had clearly coordinated, and the questions got harder and harder, and clearly. The way they worked near the end was like the first guy's question was just to set you up so you gave an answer to try and paint you in the corner for the second guy's question.
Yeah. It's like a pack of velociraptors.
Yeah, yeah. And like by the end, it was.
Did you troll the March for Science, sir?
Ironically, it was my thesis advisor who at the end was like going real hard at me. And I felt like at some point being like, hey, maybe you should have brought some of these points up 2 weeks ago when I sent my paper in and said, what do you think? And
that seems like a conflict of interest. He's guiding you through it, but then he's also the one questioning it.
Yeah, 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 I know, exactly. I'm
he
like,
was just saving some of these nuggets for later. Like, 100%. Oh, he missed a whole thing there. I'm going to wait.
This is exactly my problem with it. But it was funny because the day of, they're like, all right, your thesis defense at 11 a.m. And I was like, all right, I'm going to drop my son off. I was going to come here to the studio to actually do the taping because we have good internet connection here. So I was like, all right, I'll do it here. So I leave my son and I have it set up. So I have an hour's worth of time to come here, get set up all the tech stuff. I don't know how this WebEx seminar works. See if I can get in. I give myself an hour, right? I drop my son off. I'm driving home. And all of a sudden I realize, fuck, I forgot that. Like, you know, the ear.
Fuck, Bruce is still on the roof of the car.
Oh, damn it. And I didn't get coffee. You know that thing?
Only time for one.
You know that thing that comes with your cell phone that's like headphones with a microphone built into the cord?
Yes.
You need that because you can't just talk into
your
computer.
You look like one of the boy bands in the
90s. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you don't want the feedback loop. And I was like, oh, shit. I remember I put that someplace specifically for this occasion, and I totally have forgotten it now. I go to go home, and I'm like, oh, I'm already going to be late for my hours worth of prep. I go to go home to go pick it up. There's construction on my street. The entire street is blocked off. I have to park a quarter mile away and literally sprint to my house. Can't find the shit. All right. Oh, this is fucking taking too long. Sprint back to my car. I'm like, all right, well, there's a Boost Mobile store. I'll run in and buy one. I run in, look at the guy. I'm like, do you have one of those things with the fucking microphone with the earphones? And he's like, yeah, yeah, we got two here. One's $20, one's $30. And I was like, what's the $30 one? He's like, it's more expensive. It's Samsung. It's a little bit better. And I was like, all right, for once, I'm buying the more expensive one right now.
Yeah.
This is important, right? Like, don't scrimp on it. All right, give it to me. He's like, all right, takes it off the shelf. No joke. I looked at it on my phone. This kid takes 7.5 minutes to ring me up. And the entire time I'm doing like the tapping on the table, I'm like, come on, come on.
So you're that customer.
That made him go slower, exactly.
Yeah, oh, yeah. If that's me and you're going, come on, man, 7 minutes, this is ridiculous. I'm like, oh, you just bought yourself 2 more minutes, fuckhead.
It's literally the simplest job. I've done this at self-checkout before. This process takes me 21 seconds.
Oh, here comes the elitist over here.
Takes me 21 seconds. And so finally he gives it to me and I get out there and I sprint and I get in the car, book it like 75 miles an hour down El Cajon Boulevard to come here. I get here. The entire parking lot is blocked off. They're doing construction on the parking lot in our studio. And I was like, no! oh. I pull out. I
then
go,
he wakes up in a cold sweat. Oh, what a terrible nightmare.
Actually, I slept through it. And then I start driving around this block frantically. Tuesdays between 10 and 1, street sweeping. No parking. This is like the fucking fates conspired against me.
It's like some sort of weird construction-themed Twilight Zone.
No, this is like your advisor set this
up. Yeah,
he coordinated with the construction crew.
He called the city. He's like, that street doesn't look up to code. Might want to get a crew out here.
I'm driving around like a fucking madman. I'm looking now. My dissertation defense is in like 21 minutes. I was like, what do I do? I can't even find parking. What do I do? Do I just abandon this vehicle in the middle of the street and say fuck it and run up and do it anyway?
Yeah.
Eventually, I find parking like 7 or 8 blocks away. Again, full sprint with all of my gear to here, get everything set up, set the computers up, log in. Now I have like 6 minutes. I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to make it. Log in, and it goes, you need to download software. No! No!
Camera overhead as Bobby screams to the...
I hit the download button. Thank God for that fast internet because it actually starts downloading rather quickly. And then as I'm doing that, I'm like, okay, God, fine, fuck it. Pull the headphone out of the box. As I pull it out, the part that like the microphone casing around the cord just crumbles to pieces like a fucking joke. Like this is the trials of Job. They just falls apart in my hands as I scream into the
computer.
It's
been on the shelf for fucking 7 years.
I was like, I bought the good one. Falls apart. I like use scotch tape and luck and gum to put the thing back together in such a fashion that it'll suffice for
so
this.
So he's
thing.
So ramped up by the time like he logs in, the conference just starts like, well, hello, Robert Timothy. He's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
It wasn't that different. I'll tell you what, because it did like literally log in. And by the way, there was even more shit where like my browser wouldn't let the camera turn on. And it's like, oh, warning, you need to change your computer settings.
Meanwhile, that kid from fucking Radio Shack or whatever is telling his friend, like, earlier, this guy was being a dick, so I swapped in that broken headset.
Right?
When he was here, yeah, tap your fucking finger at me.
Yeah, I'll show you.
That probably fell apart right when he took it out of the box.
I made minimum wage, but I'm the boss of you today.
He tries to log in. It's like, I'm sorry, Bobby. I'm afraid I can't do that.
But I realized that thesis defense is a lot like defending your thesis, your master's thesis, is a lot like being involved in like a mean girl's clique in high school. Because, again, your thesis advisor, who you think is your friend, he's supposed to be guiding you through this entire process, has just sat on these nuggets of what I'm going to try and
sabotage
you.
Yeah, of course.
And that's kind of their job because like that's what they get paid for. They get paid to find the mistakes there. So they have to find your mistakes. And so if they were to correct all of your mistakes up front, they wouldn't have anything to kind of like hit you with in that sense. And I'm like, oh man, you just stole my boyfriend right before the big homecoming dance, you bitch.
Yeah.
Wow. My week was pretty much exactly the same, just without the thesis stuff.
You also had people try to contact you through WebEx seminar to just tear down something you'd worked a long time on?
None of that stuff. Exact same week, just without all the thesis related
really
things.
Hard time parking.
No.
Not even that.
Not even that. So I met a buddy for drinks at this bar near my house that I seldom go to. First of all, Dave, you're a bartender by trade.
Yes.
There's nothing worse than a shitty bartender.
Oh, God, yeah.
Or one that doesn't understand that you're not wanted in this conversation over here. All right? Because first of all, I got the female bartender that fancies herself quick-witted and snarky and always has a little something to say and a one-liner and brassy. And like we're there to meet to discuss a topic. And seriously, we're talking. She's like, okay, guys, rock, paper, scissors for shots. I'm like, go away. How are you so unaware of yourself? So that's number one. I can't stand that. Number two, overserved the fuck out of this old man to the point where he fell down. I cannot stand people that...
Well, that's kind of funny.
It was before my friend got there. And this guy, he just keeps putting down shots, old guy with the cane. And like by the like the fourth shot she brought, he was ordering Boilermakers, beer and a shot.
Yeah.
So he's like, he ordered three since I had sat down. I'd only been there for about 20 minutes. And like she was bringing him another one. And like I was trying to give her the eyes like, no, that's not a good idea. Don't give that man any more alcohol. And then he's so drunk. We haven't even talked. He starts patting me on the back like, you're a good guy, Monty. And I'm just like, and then he gets up and falls down.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was...
The first part of that, the bartender... See, the problem there is the bartender that's always on.
Yes!
They're a little bit like comics in the sense that part of a bartender's job is to entertain.
Right.
But you don't always, you know,
you
got to pick your spots.
You don't always need to, yeah.
Yeah, you got to know when it's not needed or wanted or not
it's
necessary.
It's like the waiter who, as you're having a conversation, constantly comes just, is it okay? Is your food okay? Is everything good? And it's like... yeah, we'll let you know if we got a problem, but we're in the middle of something here.
Right, the
other part of that is like when she did rock, paper, scissors for shots. That's just, to me, that's just such blatantly trying to pad my bill. Like,
right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wait, the shot's not free? I thought the whole point of rock, paper, scissors for shots means you're getting a free shot from the bar.
Well, that ended up being what happened, but it was like she was monopolizing the friend who'd asked me to come meet him there to talk, and like she'd be like, all right, rock, paper, scissors. He'd played along once, and she's like, and he won. He's like, all right, give me a shot. He's like, all right, two out of three. I'm like, Jesus Christ. To your point, the way that can never understand when a serious conversation is going on.
Yeah.
Like, I've waited tables, and I've been on the verge of breaking up with a girl over fucking dinner. And it's like, look, you never listen to me. How's everything? Okay? Like, do you not see the body language? Do you not see my shoulders hunched up and the tenseness and the fact she's crying? So anyway, that's number one. Number two, cash-only place, okay? I've gone off on this, I know, before. I'm just going to quick recap. There's no fucking excuse.
It is still weird to see those in today, fucking 2019.
There's no fucking excuse not to have credit cards. The guy that sold me a bootleg Megadeth t-shirt in a parking lot accepts credit cards.
Yeah, the guys who now like hawk their rap CDs outside of liquor stores have a Square reader.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, there's no excuse. And you know what? I've heard when I've posted this on Facebook, I've heard fucking people try and defend themselves. I've never heard an argument for cash only other than I'm stupid and lazy.
Oh, no. I've heard I'm trying to avoid paying taxes. That's a big one, too.
So I'm also a crook.
Yeah. No, you don't understand. I'm committing fraud.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest one, the most quote-unquote logical one is like, oh, well, there's so many expenses for credit cards. Like, credit card companies take expenses out. But you're going to get so much more business
tax
from people
on,
that
want
yeah, it's like two, it's like 2%. And it's like, okay, 2%. What percentage of increased business do you get when you accept the most used form of currency?
How many times have you, as a person, walked in and seen cash only and turned around and walked back out?
Right.
I know I've done it a million times.
Yeah.
And I don't like the little start. You're like, actually, there's a cash machine right over there.
Oh, yeah, the ATM that charges like exorbitant fees.
Oh, so not only do I get to use your handy-dandy, convenient fucking $5 ATM, but now I get to play. How much am I going to drink tonight? I don't know. Let's just say $60. Who knows?
And it's also
I'm right.
It's never a real ATM. It's never like your Bank of America ATM.
Oh,
it's always something that looks like halfway looks like somebody got it out of a children's playset. It's made out of plastic. It's half the size of a regular ATM.
You're pretty sure
it's just an identity theft kiosk.
It looks like a prop from a Star Wars knockoff movie from the 70s. Like one of those mockbusters. Yeah, it looks like one of those.
You're like, I'm sorry, but if it's the size of a convenience store trash can, it's not an ATM. Like, I can pick this up and take it.
Right.
And also, when I fucking swipe my card and it charges me that $5 and they treat me to that little graphic of that little bastard doing somersaults or whatever, just taunting me. So anyways, all right, so there's that, all right? We've covered that. However, if I happen upon your cash-only archaic system and I come into your bar, please do not act shocked and offended when I pull out my Visa. Like that's the fucking reaction I get from the bartenders that work there. Like cash only.
We only accept gold bullion. What are you doing here?
What are you doing? Yeah. Only Confederate currency. I want rubles.
We take chickens and eggs for trade.
We're the barter system here.
Yeah, the only acceptable response would be like sheepishly apologetic.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I've talked to my boss about this a million times. I've explained to him. But no, this fucking lady had to like clutch her pearls and faint because I had this ultra futuristic James Bond tool known as a goddamn MasterCard. And, oh, by the way, also don't fucking act like I'm stupid by pointing to your little 8.5 by 11 sign that says cash only, which is just blended in amongst the myriad of knickknacks and witty signs that say like free beer tomorrow. Bartender's always right. Rule number one. Rule number two. See rule number one. Fuck you.
Now, is this the same bar that the guy got overserved and fell over?
Actually, that was the bar before that. I made a stop on the way. That was actually where I was having dinner. It was actually Black Angus.
That guy needed his credit card to get that drunk.
I got a listener question, and it stems from an interview I did on another podcast, the Frog and Richie podcast, where they were asking me about how me and to an extent Bobby sometimes call people out for faking that they're professional fighters. We've done that a couple of times.
Well, but we have to be careful because every once in a while, a guy has his hands registered as a deadly weapon. And by the way, I think we've mentioned this on the show once. Somebody once came out with that at a party at Ryan's house in the middle of like 8 people who either were fighters or knew a lot about fighting, yeah. And his buddy had to tap him on the shoulder and be like, this is not the place, buddy. like it was literally, it was like somebody had talked trash about Mexicans in a cholo bar without recognizing what they were doing.
Yeah, no, we were watching the UFC pay-per-view, and a guy who a friend of mine had brought to the party, like no one, he was not like a first-generation friend of anyone there, like all of a sudden he just blurted out, yeah, I used to compete in mixed martial arts, and we were like, we gave him the benefit of the doubt because he was here with a friend. I'm like, oh, really? He's like, yeah, I actually have my hands registered. And like everyone just stopped and stared. No one said anything. And then he went to the bathroom like 10 minutes later, and the minute he left the room just erupted. Like, did you fucking hear that? What he said? Did you hear that guy? Anyways, so we got a question about like calling out people that pretend to be involved in martial arts or a professional fighter. The question was, how often does that happen? Because it seems like something that would not happen that often.
That somebody pretends to have a background in martial arts?
Right.
Quite often. It's shockingly often.
It seems to me like it would happen often.
I'm not saying that like I can't go to the grocery store without the teller being like, my hands are registered weapons. But it does. I mean, yeah, you'd think it wouldn't happen a lot, but you'd also think that people wouldn't, that never joined the service, wouldn't dress up in fucking army uniforms and wear medals they didn't fucking earn.
I have told you before, my most hilarious case of this is I started dating a girl in college who like was like, oh, you're on the boxing team? And I was like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she's like, my ex-boyfriend's on the boxing team. And I was like, well, that's funny.
And he had the whole charade where he would leave like, with a bag. And
I was like, there's 9 of us. We all know each other quite well. We're sparring partners and whatnot. And I was like, oh, interesting. Or is it Todd or Zach? Who is it? And she goes, no, it's this guy Abel. And I was like, all right, no, there's nobody named Abel on the boxing team. And she's like, are you sure?
Kane?
Yeah, she's like, are you sure? Because I'm sure he's on the team. And I'm like, I'm currently the captain of this boxing team. And I can guarantee you, it is my job to make sure everybody makes weight for their fights.
There is
nobody by that name.
By the way, I fucking can't stand the are you sure person. Are you suggesting I'm lying or stupid?
Well, I can't blame her for it. Because as Dave hinted at, this guy had gone to extreme lengths to fake her out, including cutting weight, and she was his girlfriend, so like they were around each other quite a bit. He would literally starve himself and run in trash bags.
What was his end game?
And then he would tell her he's going off to a meet and he would be gone for a weekend. And so like he had really set this up.
Now I get it. He was trying to get some fucking me time in.
Yeah, he was trying to set this up really big.
He had even gone to the lengths of going to register his hands at the county office.
And it's, by the way, as I pointed out to her, I was like, you know, this isn't a dumb thing to do. This is actually quite smart. Again, there's less than 10 of us that are starters on this team. If you pick the football team, there's 50 people on that team. There's half a dozen managers. There's everything else, right? And you're on TV. If you pick the boxing team, chances are, in a school of 30,000 people, nobody's going to fucking know. Like, it's a great ruse to do. And he just happened to be the most unlucky motherfucker on earth that 10 out of 30,000 number really screwed him over at the end.
Yeah, the thing is, what really perplexes me is people that, if you're going to do this, I would assume that you'd have some sort of base knowledge of it. And that's almost never the case, which is weird. Because that's the thing that really baffles me about the Stolen Valor guys, the guys that dress up in the army uniforms, is that I would assume that at least if I was going to picture that scenario, I would picture a guy that enlisted, was in for at least boot camp and got maybe washed out during that or something like that, and then claims to be like a war hero or a sergeant.
Right.
Or but these guys never even signed up. They don't know. It seems they've done no research into the uniform they're wearing.
Right.
Something that's easily like spotted by people that have been in the service for like a year.
Yeah.
Like they don't know that if this medal is an Air Force, Army, Marines, or if they're all mixed together, which is usually the case. They're like, dude, like these are different branches of shit you're wearing. Like, did you do no research into this fucking ruse?
And by the end, they look like Idi Amin, and they just have like an entire breastplate full of different things.
Yeah. The worst part though is they will just continue to double down on their lies, like, oh, those medals don't go together. No, I got this one because I was so good that they weren't.
Yeah.
It's like, if you, it's
I was
like,
such a good Marine, they used to launch me in missiles towards the enemy, so I became part of the Air Force, yeah. And that's it, how I'm wearing
it. Like,
this.
I know we talked about this on the podcast a long time ago. It's like Casey Anthony when she said she worked at that job,
oh,
and she
walked
all the way to the point of taking people to the office.
Yes. Well, it's funny that you mentioned
she
the martial
arts. Still got off. That's crazy.
It's funny you mentioned the martial arts guy. I just saw a hilarious video of a very famous BJJ black belt competing against a fake BJJ black belt in a tournament. And it is fantastic.
Oh, I'm gonna
there is,
that.
Yes, I'm going to show you afterwards. There is nothing better because he is just toying with him. He just kind of runs around his back a half a dozen times to just prove that he has complete control of the guy with absolutely no point. And then at some point when he realizes the guy's not defending at all, he just takes a step back, stands up, and pushes him over. It's,
wow.
It's fantastic. And it's just ridiculous because, listen, as somebody who's watched, who doesn't have a lot of experience in BJJ, but who's gone and done a few intro classes, when you go against somebody who has a blue belt's worth of knowledge, you're fucked. You are fucked. You don't know what the fuck you're doing. You have no concept. And that's, I have a background in judo. I have a background in some sansu grappling and stuff. Like, I'm not completely elemental at grappling, but you put me against a half decent blue belt and they'll submit me very quickly. That's just the nature of the beast. If you pretend to know something that somebody else is an expert in, they'll be able to call you out really quick. Like, I am not that great. I couldn't necessarily do that for a BJJ person. I could in certain circumstances. But I'll see your stance and tell you that you've never boxed competitively.
Yeah, so that's why I'm so baffled. Is like, I would assume these guys at least, you know, got their white belt in jiu-jitsu and sucked. And then went on to say, I'm a black belt. Because then at least you know what color belts lead up to that.
Yeah.
You know, how long it might take to get that. How many stripes you get before you get to advance on color. You know, these are things that, like, you could learn through your first two classes of jiu-jitsu. But these guys have zero knowledge. They've never watched UFC.
Yeah.
And that's the lie you're going to pick, man? I get that you're a liar and that you're a sociopath. But why not pick a lie that you could fucking have some knowledge behind?
Do what they did in the 90s and make up your own martial art that you claim
Frank
to be
Dukes.
A black belt in.
Frank Dukes.
Yeah. You're in Kwajon Pitsu, and you're the lead sensei master, and everybody respects you, and you shoot energy balls.
And you incorporate your name in there, like Joe Jitsu or whatever you do.
Yeah, just do all that, because then nobody could call you on it, and then when they point out that your martial art is useless, you can just point out that half the Chinese martial arts are completely useless, and their masters too.
Bobby, what do you think the psychology is behind the Stolen Valor guys, by the way?
Like, well, there's a lot of different ones. So there's a mixture of narcissism, and then people who get away with narcissism. I mean, listen, there's a very public example of a clinical narcissist in public office right now, and he'll just lie to people and then get caught lying and then just keep moving on because he doesn't care. That's the way narcissism works.
It's like for sport. I'm going to wear this uniform out in public. People are going to thank me for my service, and I'm going to feel like some sort of gratification that I got one over on people.
And it's not necessarily that I got one over on people. It's they want the gratification, and there are no consequences in their mind because once somebody calls them on it, they just keep moving on and they don't feel that shame. They just keep going on and go on with their life. So they're out for the good parts of it, like you said, the getting credos or whatnot. But they don't feel the downsides. And so to them, why not, right? Like if it's only positives that can come from this, might as well do it. And it's only every once in a while when one of like the same thing, like the Stolen Valor guys come up and get them on YouTube or something, and then they get screwed. But it's funny because you'll see those guys break down, like whether it's the martial arts guys or the Stolen Valor guys, you'll see them break down eventually and be like, all right, I'm really sorry. I was lying, blah, 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 blah. But then they'll come back with a Facebook post 2 days later. Listen, I had to say that. I was in a very scary environment.
See, I don't ever see him break down. Like,
I've never seen that.
You can watch. I've watched a bunch of those Stolen Valor videos since Ryan has recommended it. That's actually become a pastime of mine too. And in some of those, they will break down at the end and be like, listen, you're right. There was one guy who was like, my son's in the military. I was wearing this. It was the only clothes that was in the house.
The last time you and I together called out a fake martial artist was at the live event we did over
That's
at
right.
Empire Ping. And I was so bummed out that I didn't get the satisfaction of him going, all right, I made it all up. The way that went down is me and Bobby were calling a UFC fight live for an audience. And this fucking drunk who had way too much to drink comes over. And I forget the fighter that was on TV, but he's like, let's call it Jeremy Stevens. Yeah. He's like, oh, I'd submit that guy in 10 seconds easily, no problem. And I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I'm like, so I'm thinking either black belt, liar. There's in between. You can't just point to a professional fucking killer on TV and go, I'd tap him. So me and Bobby wanted to get to the bottom of it. We're like, so what's your martial art? Jiu-jitsu. We're like, really? What belt do you have?
It's like Sears leather.
Yeah. No, he started explaining how his uncle taught him, well, no, like, that's in the secret.
Thing. So let's do a little bit here, Bobby. Yeah. We'll show you how this went down. So wait. You do what martial art?
It was, I did jujitsu.
Did
jujitsu. Did jujitsu. Okay.
So you don't do it anymore?
No, I mean, you get to a certain level, you're an expert, and then there's nothing left to learn. You're an expert.
So what belt do you have?
Well, it's not like a belt system.
What do you
mean
it's not a belt system?
Well, see, oh, hey, listen. Here's how it is. Mine's a little complicated.
Okay.
My uncle, he's a jiu-jitsu master. He's like the jiu-jitsu master. And
what's his name?
His name is Ed.
What?
Ed Sampson.
Ed Sampson?
Sampson.
Sampson-y. What academy does he operate at?
His own academy.
His own.
Ed's Academy.
It's called Ed's Academy.
I think that's the name. It might have changed. And he taught me in secret because...
Why did he teach you in secret?
Because I didn't have...
What was going on with you and your uncle, man?
Money to pay, and then he wanted me... I was so good. I was so good at it that he needed me in there, but I didn't have the money to pay, and so he taught me in secret so I could instruct other people.
What would be the problem with an uncle giving his nephew free lessons? I don't understand.
Well, because then when everybody would see me dominating the tournaments, then it would look...
How long did it take you to get your rank?
Well, he didn't want to give me a rank because he was scared that then the other jiu-jitsu masters...
Tell me what an omoplata is.
It's not that type of jiu-jitsu.
What kind of jiu-jitsu is it?
It's the other ones. Yeah, so it's not...
What country, then?
So you're talking about Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Right.
This was the Japanese jiu-jitsu.
Japanese jiu-jitsu.
Yep, that's where it came from.
Okay, tell me what a kimura is, then.
It's like the robe that you wear?
No.
Okay.
And it just kept going that way.
It was so good.
And he just kept going further down this rabbit hole.
That's what I'm saying. I've never seen anyone break and apologize for that
shit. Me neither.
Ever.
Me neither.
I got two ideas for reality shows.
Okay.
Similar. First one for the Stolen Valor. When we find those guys, we group them up and we send them through boot camp.
Yeah.
Now, they get the most grueling boot camp, but the thing is they don't know this going in. Before they can actually complete and be awarded any sort of rank, they all get dishonorably discharged. So they don't even get the benefits.
Like at the end of the boot
camp.
Yes,
right at the end. Yes. Second similar show, we get the MMA guys, the guys who pretend they're good at MMA. We have them fight a professional MMA guy, but their face is blurred out. So they don't even get any recognition. Because even if they lost, they
That's
would
true.
Still get the fame. They don't even get that.
That's
they
true.
Just get beaten up on television and embarrassed.
It is funny to run into those guys. I ran into another guy once who was trying to impress my girlfriend at the time. He was trying to hit on my girlfriend in front of me at the time. And this was,
did
was
you
like,
know this guy? Or
no,
was
not
a
at all. Not okay. at all. Complete all right. stranger. We're like 23.
He was on the boxing team, but Bobby didn't know him.
Sort of, like, so he mentioned somebody mentioned something about boxing in passing in reference to me, but kind of without spelling it out. And then he goes, oh, boxer? I'm a boxer. And I was like, oh, interesting. Okay, well, cool. Where did you box? And he goes, oh, just around town at the gyms and stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, sweet. Yeah, I was a boxer for a while too. I actually just kind of hung up the amateurs, so to speak,
My uncle taught me in secret.
Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, oh, okay, great. Well, what's your record? And he's like, well, we don't really do records. And I was like,
I'm sorry?
Oh, okay. So you were just kind of like a gym guy. You did a lot of the sparring and stuff. And he's like, yeah. And then he tried to do the flip the script, which is something else these guys will do a lot, which is he's gonna question me.
Right.
Like
right.
he's gonna
oh,
try to trip you up.
Yeah. And so he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. Well, what kind of boxing did you do? And I was like, I mean, well, technically.
Bobby's like, this kind sucks.
I was like, college is judged by Olympic rules, if that's what you mean. He's like, well, what's your stance? And I was like, yeah, no, I'm a regular Orthodox. I like to try southpaw every once in a while. And he goes, no. I mean, what rules do you fight by? And I was like, this is a really weird and nonsensical conversation if you understand the way boxing works.
That's what you're supposed to say. Street rules. You break a bottle on a counter.
You do some Boz Rutten shit. You put Tabasco on your knuckles and you go, us!
And my favorite part was, this is how it always goes. This ended as we were going to a USC football game. And as we were getting there, and he's just like, yeah, man. Well, I don't know what you were up to. I was doing my thing, more of a pro style. And I was like, oh, interesting. I was like, we're actually going to a football game where the fraternity that I graduated from last year, they're going to be there. And we always have a couple pairs of boxing gloves just for fucking around, like in the RV that we're all tailgating at.
Was any of this true?
No, but but I was like, but why don't we go over there and we'll just have a real fun light sparring session? He's like, oh yeah, totally. And as soon as we got off that out of that vehicle, he split so fucking.
Well,
fast.
His only other option would have been like, I don't want to hurt you guys.
That's the most infuriating one.
That is the most infuriating one because I'm always whenever somebody says it, I was like, You understand, I was boxing at 175, and I was the biggest starter, which meant that I had to fight all the heavyweights from other teams in team sparring sessions. You really think you're going to hurt me? Like, you really, you understand, heavyweight collegiate champion boxers have been throwing punches at me for 4 years. Do you think you're going to hurt me?
With this ruse you've created for yourself?
Yeah, like, what?
You're just going to will yourself, like, I've seen enough of this on TV. I think I know what goes on.
Do you think you have some kind of special punch that nobody who's been studying how to punch things for 100 years and training kids how to do it has figured out yet?
But that's the biggest problem is there's no downside for these guys. Like, yes, you can embarrass them at a bar, but they'll go to another bar.
Yeah, totally.
And eventually they'll find someone who they'll impress, all that shit.
The only
there's
thing
no real downside for these guys.
Except if they get caught on YouTube, and then that gets publicized, and then they become the Stolen Valor guy, or the guy, like I'm talking about, the jiu-jitsu guy. I'm going to show Ryan that video later, and if Ryan never sees that guy.
Wait. Put the link on the podcast. When
oh, we should.
Okay, yeah, no problem. So I mentioned that I met a friend from for drinks last night. Here's the thing. It was a guy that wants to start doing stand-up and wanted to ask me a few questions about it.
Cool.
And so,
by the way, great way to do that, too. Somebody, if you do want to go get into something like stand-up, find somebody like Ryan who has made all the mistakes, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
We've all made a shitload of mistakes that we could have avoided if we had talked to somebody like Ryan when we started out.
Right, exactly. So we were having a good conversation that kept getting interrupted by the fucking bartender that wanted a bigger tent.
Maybe she just wanted to learn about getting into stand-up.
No, she did not.
She was putting on a clinic. This is how you do it.
Yeah. So, anyways, I ended up bumming myself out by because he's asking me about about what the lifestyle is attached to it, what you have to do when you're starting out, everything. I'm like, well, you know, it's really hard on relationships. You're married and everything, so I've never seen a guy that was married going into stand up to keep that wife.
Right.
And then four nights a week just being punched around by fucking guys that are. A little further down the trough than you. Yep. And getting no respect and doing 3 minutes for free and doing all the... God, I just get really sad. Then 5 years down the line, you're on the road, you've clawed your way to this point, and you're making $150, but you've spent $100 getting there. And then the fucking promoter says, I'm only paying you $50. What are you going to do? Take me to court? And you're like, I'm not driving back to Arizona to go to court. And then you go fucking back to your hotel room and there's a gunshot next door. And then you go, oh God, someone's probably dying. And then you go home.
See, the thing is, if you ever get to claw your way to the top of the heap, you realize that's just the bottom of the next heap you have to claw your way
absolutely.
To the top of. And it never ends.
Absolutely.
Never ends.
So, I started to get bummed out just explaining what the last 10 years of my life have been. Other side of that, though, Dave, we've noticed a kind of a trend happening amongst our fellow comics is people that announce, I'm quitting my day job to pursue comedy full time. And then do nothing but fucking launch GoFundMes to help fund this dream. Have you seen that much?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
like, that's not the same thing. How are you going to get the kudos of like, hey, I'm able to quit my job if you all chip in?
That at least makes sense to me in my head. Like, it's stupid, but it makes sense. Like, oh, I'm cutting off my source of funding, so help me fund this life.
Right.
But one that we saw that was better than that was not even I'm quitting my job to do comedy. I'm moving somewhere else to try to keep doing this.
Yeah.
Help me move.
Dude, the person that does the irresponsible GoFundMes, that was the kid in school that would tell everyone he was a dollar short for lunch and make a killing. That's that kid grown up.
I mean, once in a while, it is warranted. We'll see someone who's that's a good decision. They're doing it the right way. They're not doing a GoFundMe. They're just announcing to let everyone know.
And the other idea is like a GoFundMe is supposed to be for something in particular that is either unseen or like has the potential to do something big. So if somebody was like, hey, I quit my job to do comedy 6 months ago and I've been kind of grinding and working it, but then all of a sudden I have this huge opportunity, but I need a plane ticket to London. But if I get there, this is a big deal and you guys know how good I am. And everybody was like, yeah, he's the best guy in town. He's really good. Then you see everybody be like, yeah, let's chip in. Let's get him there. We think he can make it the next round. But if somebody's just like, hey, I don't feel like working at Denny's anymore, but I still got rent.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's the thing is in my eyes, a GoFundMe is like you said, for something big, like, hey, I want to go on tour. If you kick into my GoFundMe, I can come to your town. I can comp your ticket. You know, it comes with a T-shirt or something like that. Or I'm making a film. I did a little teaser trailer.
Yeah.
I'd like to see this made, you know, but then or an emergency like fucking. It happened to my wife. The guy who raised her died in Alabama. She had no money to get there. She threw out a GoFundMe.
So, or an emergency, like, hey, guys, I'm going comedy full time. Emergency.
State of alert.
You don't know how much of a dick my boss is. This is an emergency.
Oh, shit.
One last thing before we get out of here. I saw this news story. This university student, she recently graduated with her bachelor's. She's like 22. Married her 72-year-old professor.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Married her. Now, here's the thing.
Did he get fired?
I don't think so, because she graduated and then all this got announced. But
yeah.
My whole thing is, like, you should get fired,
yeah.
Right? I mean, like, I understand that this person is of legal consenting age. I understand that. By the letter of the law, even though you're doing something icky, it's not against the law. But something was going on there. This guy's clearly is this not proof this guy is abusing his power?
Yeah, because it's the same thing. They have rules that you can't date your students.
Right.
And so, like, if you're saying, technically she's not a student anymore, okay. When did this start? When did this start? And also, let's acknowledge the fact that you being their professor, like, there's clearly a power imbalance there, and that doesn't go away the second that person graduates.
No.
They may not have, like, sway over your grades anymore, but that was still a person in a position of authority. And it's just kind of weird. Like, was that 21-year-old just sitting there going, like, man, I just can't wait to get at those 72-year-old balls. Oh, yeah.
Now, there was a teacher in my high school that is well known. He was a history teacher that he was married to one of his former students. And there's like a 30-year age difference or something.
Jeez.
And the thing is, like, you know, she was in her 30s and he was in his 60s. So no one really thought too much about it. But I did. I was like, So when she was in your class, were you licking your chops?
Right.
Going, ooh, can't wait till she's of age.
Yeah.
Like, what went on here? When did this start? Like you said, what was the impetus for this? Was there, like, because if you were coveting this chick, you should not still be teaching at this school.
Yeah, it's like the Celine Dion thing where her current husband was like her, I don't know, like some kind of agent when she was 12 or 13.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for
real?
Yeah, and he was in his 40s at that point.
Oh,
and
no, like, that's something very going on there.
They didn't get together, quote unquote, until she was 19 or 20, but it's like, no, that's wrong. That's still wrong. You're essentially a dad figure to her.
And that's another thing. That makes it almost worse. It's not worse, but but it's still extra creepy that, like, you watched her grow up.
Yes.
Like, you should have a more of a paternal instinct towards that person.
Yeah,
so the fact that you don't have that...
It's automatically weird if there's a 30-year age gap, but it becomes way weirder if you knew them before they were an adult. If you knew them when they were a child and through that entire period of childhood, now you're a creep.
Oh,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, no, there's people that I knew when they were little kids and they've grown up, but I could never find a sexual attraction to them because I see them as a child. And that's just human nature. And I think these guys also see them as a child and that's part of their deal.
Yeah, because you get the feeling that, remember when we were younger and a bunch of creeps had put on, like, on the line, they had an Olsen twins counter that was counting down until the age that they turned 18?
So
you just imagine that these guys have one of those in their head for these girls. Like, the guy's just sitting there, he's like, come on, young Celine, come on.
I got the pee shivers.
I don't know. Maybe that 22-year-old college student, he's 72. Maybe his capacities are failing. He's not really sharp. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to marry this dude and get some of that sweet, sweet professor money.
Yeah, right.
Fucking take him for a ride.
Nobody makes more dough than teachers.
Absolutely.
All right. Now that everyone's sufficiently creeped out, I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos.
You just stole my boyfriend right before the big homecoming dance, you bitch.
Ooh, yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.